board meeting for the Richmond Fund for Children and Youth at 6:01 p.m. And can I get a roll call?
Yes, I will now begin roll call. Board Member Alvarado?
Here.
Here. Board Member Dandy Evans?
Here. And then also, I told David already that around 7:50, I will be leaving Kalev class.
Class starts at 7.
Or 6:50. I'm sorry, 6:50.
Okay, thank you for the notice as well. As present. Coach Arniana?
Here.
Here. Board Member Galloway? Absent. Board Member Hextrom?
Here.
Here. Co-Chair Johnson? Absent. Board Member Lee? Absent. Board Member Lobos?
Here.
Here. Board Member Cader?
Here.
Here. And Board Member Segura? Absent. And LaShonda, let me know about Board Member James. With that, we have 6 board members present, which constitute this as an official meeting of the Oversight Board.
So we're now moving on to agenda item B, review and modification to the agenda. Board. Okay, so could we get, okay. So then we're moving on to item C, any reports from the director?
Yes, so good evening, everyone. LaShonda White, Deputy City Manager for Internal Services, also Director for the Department of Children and Youth. First, I wanna say happy 2021 to everyone. And the last time we met was, well, we met many times in the month of December. And I just want to say welcome to the new year to everyone. 2020 was eventful, if I can just say that. And we had a lot to do for the department, and that is outside of everything else that was going on in the world. So I once again, behalf of the department staff, really want to thank our wonderful board, those present tonight, those not present, for the amazing work all of you did in 2020. We met every deadline that we needed to meet in 2020, and that really speaks to all of your dedication and just, you know, work, in multiple meetings that year. So thank you so much for that. And one of the agenda items tonight is really to talk about 2021 for the board. And so this won't be the only opportunity we have, but you know, we look forward to looking at what 2021 will hold for the Oversight Board. With regards to board appointments, we still have some vacancies for our youth board members, and we are working with the city council members, 2 of which are new, and we're working with them to get their appointments for the youth vacancies that are on the board, and we're hoping to have all of that done within the month of February so that we can have some new board members join us in the month of March. And then later in the month of March, we will do this by email. But there are some new Brown Act rules that were adopted by the California legislature regarding social media communication among legislative bodies such as this. And we will be sharing information by email with all of you board members, but also we will, if needed in March, we can have a presentation on what those new rules are and how they apply to the board. And with that, that concludes my announcements. Thank you.
Thank you, LaShonda, for that. Moving on to item D, public comment. Do we have any public comment?
Yes, we do have one public comment, and I'll also read announcements to the public. Anyone may make an oral comment, even if a written comment has previously been submitted. However, each speaker may only raise their hand once to make an oral comment per agenda item. We will be holding a public forum now, so if you'd like to speak, we ask that you please use the raise your hand feature. To comment by video conference, you can click on the participants button at the bottom of your screen and select the raise your hand button. To comment by phone, you'll be prompted to raise your hand by pressing *9. And for agenda items under Oversight Board as a whole, you may use the raise my hand feature to express your interest, providing verbal public comment. So I'll begin by reading the written public comment received. I do see we have one hand raised as well within our attendees list. So the first public comment is from Cordell Hindler. It goes as follows. Hello, David. I have a couple of comments for the record. Number one, the mayor did mention the Oversight Board at the council meeting this past Tuesday, and the next step is to schedule a conference call with Richmond and De Anza to discuss the timeline for bringing to City Council. Number two, also my project is coming along just elegantly, and I will update the group soon. Sincerely, Cordell. So that is the written public comment received today by 3:30 p.m. And I do see we have a hand as well. So I will be pulling that up. And also establishing the 2-minute timer. Our first speaker is, and only speaker, is Sarah Pritchard. I will now press the allowed to talk button. Hello, Sarah, can you hear us okay?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, are you here to speak with public comment?
Okay, hi everyone, good evening. I just wanna say how thrilled I am to have found out about this new commission, so congratulations, thanks for all the work. I'm the new executive director for Rosie the Riveter Trust, and we are applying for the grant. And we're just, I think I just want to say how grateful I am that this is happening and that you're going to be, you have youth on the board, or you're going to bring youth on the board. I think it's very exciting. So just thank you very much. And that's all.
Thank you, Sarah. And that is all for public comment.
Thank you for the speakers for public comment. So we'll now move on to agenda item E, our consent calendar. So we will, E1, approve the minutes of the December 2020 meeting of the Richmond Fund for Children, Youth, and Oversight Board. So do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the minutes. Commissioner Hagstrom.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
So we have a motion to approve by member Hagstrom, seconded by Kadar. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Okay, so it passes. So we have approved the minutes for the December 18, 2020 Oversight Board. We'll now move on to item F1. And we will listen to an overview of request for proposal, RFP for the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 grant cycle and discuss next steps. Do we have any reports on this item?
Yes. Co-Chair Anyana, this is Patrick Seals. I support the Department of Children and Youth, and we do have a presentation. Just as a preface to those comments, we're not asking for any necessary action on this matter or any vote at this time, but we are going to ask you to be thinking about something, and we'll want your feedback once we conclude the presentation. So this item is to just provide an overview of your RFP process, your grant application process for the coming fiscal years, and just to talk about what have we done, and what are our immediate next steps? So next slide, please. First off, just wanna say again, congratulations to you all. We did meet our deadline of releasing the RFP by January 1st. So congratulations to you and to staff. We appreciate you all making some sacrifices around meetings and extra meetings and special meetings and your attendance at some of the community needs assessment, public gatherings, forums, your attendance and awareness of our focus groups. And so we just want to say thank you for that. And we did it. Next slide. And this is a slide that you all are very familiar with. This image, I think, is the hallmark of the board at this point. We're almost there. So we've done a lot of work. I don't have to tell you about that. But this is where we are. We released the RFP, and we're kind of in this stage where we're prepared to make that next step to disbursement coming in July of 21. Next slide. And so since the release, right, here are some of the things that led up to it, and we'll talk about some of the things that's happened since. So in December, on December 10th, you all approved the strategic investment plan. And then on December 18th, you all approved your community needs assessment and your RFP. And the city council approved the strategic investment plan as well. Since your release, what we've done is we've been very, very diligent about sharing the message as far and as broadly as we can regarding the RFP that you all approved. And we've used our social media channels. We've used our biz online process. We're using our website. We've leveraged the mayor's social media channels. So we're very, very proud of that effort. And we've also hosted some information sessions, January 19th, January 26th. And we've had over 50 people participate in those two sessions. We have another information pre-bidders conference scheduled for this week, Wednesday, February 3rd, from 6 p.m. until probably the 7 p.m. hour. And it's an opportunity for us to walk through the details of the RFP. And I'll walk through some of them just as a refresher here in a minute. We've also set up an online webpage. David, go ahead, next slide for me.
Patrick, before you go to the next slide, the meeting on February 3rd is from 5 to 7 p.m.
Oh, I'm sorry, 5 to 7. My apologies. 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thank you, LaShonda. I appreciate that. And there it is. So we also set up, in addition to scheduling and putting out the word about the release of the RP, scheduling and hosting some information sessions, we've also been very diligent about setting up our webpage. And what we've done is we established an online grant application form, which is the first time that we've done that around any grants here in the city. The ECIA is also online as well, in the sense that people can download very simple Word templates, and then they can upload those documents. So staff and also organizations who are applying for the grant to reduce any exposure or health issues around COVID, right? We want to be as efficient as possible. Additionally, using an online portal allows for us to manage our time better, the use of time and staff. We give time, because this grant application is online, typically grant applications would be due on Fridays, but because it's online, we're giving people a couple of days on the weekend and all day Monday, and they can apply at any time of the day up until midnight on Monday. And this was something that, you know, LaShonda always speaks about. She's like, hey, if we're not going to be doing anything with the documents on the weekend, let's give people the weekend to apply. And so this provides greater flexibility and more time for individuals to apply. So we're very happy about this new feature. So next slide. So as you're aware, coming out of our community needs assessment and our strategic investment plan and all the listening and discussion and discourse around supporting young people here in Richmond and in North Richmond from birth to 24, what bubbled to the top were the following six priority areas. behavioral health, mental health and wellness, education support and employment, out of school time, after school, youth violence support and prevention, access to basic needs, and information guidance and case management. And because of the mandate in the charter, Article 15, the Kids First Initiative, we have approximately $1.5 million in our coffers for grant awards for this coming fiscal year for 21 and 22. And we've kind of broken it out this way. We have about $300,000 across the first four priorities, and these are not listed in any, these priority areas are not listed in an order of significance or need or importance. But we have $300,000 across those first four categories, and we have $150,000 in the last two categories, access to basic needs, information guidance, and case management. And these are merely estimates, right? Once we get into scoring an award, there is some flexibility around how much money might actually be awarded in a particular category based on how much is awarded in another category. So if there is a balance left over in one particular category, the review committee will, and also the board will have the prerogative to say, hey, there was $30,000 that was unawarded in basic needs. Hey, can we move that to education? Can we move that to after school? Can we use it? So we have quite a bit of flexibility, but this is just to provide kind of a snapshot of how the money might be broken out going forward when it comes time to make an award recommendation. Next slide. So when we're speaking about the grant, and we're talking about eligibility, here are some of the eligibility requirements that were that we shared with you in the past. But one of them is around location, right? So the organizations need to be Richmond serving, Richmond and North Richmond serving and supporting youth from birth to 24. The measure and the charter use this very interesting language: in Richmond, organizations that could apply could be located in Richmond or in close proximity. And there wasn't much direction around it. So what we did was we tried to be as clear as we could, and to make sure that when close proximity, we kind of took that more literally. So close proximity includes those cities, I mean, those organizations that are in Richmond, San Pablo, El Cerrito, Hercules, Pinole. We didn't expand it to Berkeley. We didn't expand it to Oakland. We tried to keep it as neighboring as possible because we want to support the organizations that are very tied and linked to our community here. Collaboration is also something that we are encouraging, right? Because it provides for the leveraging of funds, the leveraging of resources, and as it relates to staff and institutional knowledge. And it's one of the application categories, as you can remember. We kind of went through that over a couple of meetings. Collaboration is an application category. And what that needs to include is it needs to include either joint delivery of the direct services and or planning and coordinating and or equal participation in decision-making around the design or evaluation of the programming that happens, or can include implementation. Lastly, youth voice, right? I think we heard from the Kids First Initiative group, and also in alignment, I think, with the spirit of this board is the power of youth voice, in that youth need to be at the table, literally, right? That we were encouraging organizations as a part of their application is that they need to demonstrate that not only are they serving young people, but in their plan to serve young people, they have been very intentional about gathering their opinion about program design, what development looks like, doing very targeted outreach, and that youth have a say-so in what implementation looks like as it relates to programs that are definitely going to impact them directly. Next slide, please. Also, here's a table again that you are also familiar with. We have our small and emerging applicant category, which based on your recommendation to us, is going to be reviewed and scored against other small and emerging categories. And we have our single agency and also our collaboratives. We went over our indirect cost and our minimum match percentages, and those are all still the same. And so roughly organizations overall are eligible to apply for grants ranging from as small as 30,000 as in the small and emerging to as large as 200,000 under the collaborative category. And we are requesting that organizations make sure that they provide some financial statements that let us know that they are managing their funds well, so it speaks to their capacity to manage our grant dollars and awards as well. Next slide, please. So here is the five-step process for application. Just generally is that there's an agency's proposal, there's first step, which is not scored. It's just, where's your agency located? Who are the directors of your organization? Who will be the project manager for your organization? What is your organizational budget? All of those things are unscored. It's just some very basic information. Step two is the proposal narrative, and we went through some of the questions and we went through some of the review criteria with you all. Their third step is they have to supply us with a budget document, which basically says, hey, here's how much money we're requesting, here's how much money we bring in, and here's how we want to spend that money across certain categories. So we're speaking of staff costs, support, overhead. We want them to lay that out for us as clearly as they can. Then we'll be requiring that they provide us with some documents that let us know that, again, that speak to that eligibility piece, that they are a 501c3, that they have filed their taxes, that they do have a board of directors, they submit their financials that support that, or audited or reviewed financials. If they are in collaboration, that they have a letter that says that. If they're in collaboration with a governmental entity like the school district or a county function, they have a letter that shows that. So these are just some very, very basic required documents that speak and support the eligibility. Finally, because it's online, we would typically have them submit a hard copy document that says that they acknowledge and recognize that everything that they've said in this document is true, that they are authorized to submit it, right? It is basically some affirmations that speak to their power to submit. But because it's online, they'll be checking a box, entering their name as an electronic signature and an email address. And these documents, there are some supporting tables and appendices that they'll be providing to us just to support the narrative in step two. Next slide. So that kind of is where you come from, what we've done immediately since. A lot of that is review. Your next step is we're going to be talking about the review process, right? And here is where you all are going to be able to put your hands into the process and do some work around looking at these organizations and eventually making some recommendations. So we just want to start off and let you know that the committees, the review committees, and I'm using that word S because we're going to parse it out just a little bit here in a second. I'll share. There will be some additional work that'll be required of you all as a oversight board. And there may be some additional meetings that will need to be taking place to support the review of the applications. And we will be supporting you all by providing you with some direction or training about the review and your role to discuss any affiliations, recusal if necessary. So that we'll be sharing some of that information. So what we're asking you to do today is consider this, is we want you to be thinking about your participation level during the review process. Because we have six priority areas, right? We are likely to have six subsets of review. And some of you might review on multiple priority areas, but think about, hey, which priority areas might I be interested in? And I feel like LaShonda may have brought this up in some prior meetings. You might want to review in an area where you feel strongest, but then again, you might want to review in an area that maybe you're unfamiliar with because you may be so connected to a priority area that you are very well aware of the people in that system, the organizations in that system. And so thinking about, okay, so how do I stay as objective in the process? So be thinking about those six priority areas and what your level of participation might be, right? Do you want to review? Would you like to review across multiple priority areas? Would you not like to review? And maybe just look at some of the applications. So that's what we're asking you to do today, is just be thinking about that. Staff is doing some ongoing recruitment. So we're gonna be reaching out to departments of children and youth and some foundation folks as well, who are not directly affiliated with some of the Richmond organizations. So they can also support us in reviewing, which we did with our HTA contract. We had San Francisco come in and San Pablo. We're gonna tap our partners across other municipalities and foundations to come in and support, because we're probably gonna have quite a few applications. Finally, what we're gonna do is at our next meeting, we're gonna come back and propose some options, right? And lay out some options, and then you all can make a decision about what do you want the review process to look at. And we're recommending to come back at your next meeting, because as LaShonda referenced, we're gonna have some new board members appointed, and we want them to kind of be a part of that conversation. We could have brought it at this meeting, but because they'll be at their subsequent meeting, we felt like it'd be best to have them there and be a part of that conversation, so they can also decide what options they'd like to participate in, what review priority areas they might like to review, et cetera, the level. But we do want you to be thinking about that, because we'll be laying out a table that has maybe a few options about what your participation can look like going forward. Between that time and your next meeting, though, the applications are going to be received on February 22nd. Staff will do a preliminary review just to make sure that people have their documents attached. We call it a threshold review, right? Just to make sure that everybody's kind of checked their boxes and everything looks good. And we may even send or share, I can't say specifically, if we complete that process, we may send that information out to you before your meeting on the first, and then at your meeting at the first, work out what the options for review might be. Next slide. So once you all are broken out into committees, this is kind of the chart forward, right? Staff will do the initial review, highlighted there with the golden icon. We'll do that. Then we'll pass it along to the committee for your review and score, or committees for reviewing and scoring. You all will submit those scores. Staff will then average them and do a preliminary rank. And then what we'll do is, there'll be a subsequent conversation with the review committees about, once you all score individually, you come together and talk collectively. Does the ranking kind of align with your feeling about the organizations? And you will have the opportunity to make any adjustments that you see fit. Once the review committees have scored all the priority areas and agree upon the rankings, those rankings will be submitted to the entire body of the oversight board, right, for the entire oversight board to review and score. You all will have discussion about that, and hopefully approve the rankings of your subcommittees and review committees, and we'll put forth a recommendation for funding to the city council. And once it goes to the city council, our last icon there on the right, the city council will hear probably a presentation from staff on this, because of the initial year. And we're going to be looking for the city council to approve. We're going to be trying to provide you all with approximately 8 weeks. It could be seven or 8 weeks for review. And that will, we put February because there is an evaluation that staff does, but you all will likely get it the beginning of March, March 1st, before your first meeting. And then you may have all of March, perhaps almost all of April. And then we come back in May for you all to approve your recommendations, and then we submit to City Council for their approval in May. Next slide. So I've kind of walked through this, but again, this is just a timeline. So February and March, we're gonna be reaching out to our partners just to recruit as many reviewers to support you all so that you can spread the love of reviewing all of these documents and get some help. You all will be evaluating basically from March to April scoring, and you will be setting forth your oversight board and city council recommendations May to June. Staff, once we get those recommendations from you all and council approval, We'll try to be entering into contracts with those folks in June. And then we're hopefully going to be having some folks starting some work around a very labor intensive, but also very meaningful process that you all would have begun well over a year ago in February with the HTA. So it's this process has actually felt like it's been a long time, but when you get here, it's like, wow, it seems like it's going by very quickly. So just next slide. So just want to thank you all again for your hard work. And just to make some space here for if there's any feedback on the process, if there's any recommendations on options that you would like for us to be thinking about when we come back for next week, then be like, hey, Patrick, I know you all are developing options. Here's something that I would like to include. Or if there's any questions around what we've talked about, myself and the other folks here from the Department of Children and Youth are available to you.
And just to briefly add, if there are any attendees who would like to speak during public comment, you may begin raising your hand. And that is through the raise your hand feature as well.
Okay, so now do we have any questions or comments from the board?
I have a question about the location of the nonprofits that can apply for the grant. Of those surrounding cities you named, so my question is like, and I attended the first workshop. So it's possible that someone's not a nonprofit yet officially, and then they can apply with an existing nonprofit. Yeah. So, or two can team up together, however, I forget the language used, but anyhow, so is it possible, collaborate, okay, so is it possible for, you know, some folks in Berkeley to have a cool program to team up with a Richmond program and then apply that way?
Board Member Lobos, I appreciate that question because it is perfect. It's almost like you got my text message. So great question. Organizations outside of Richmond and that what they call close proximity, West County, are absolutely eligible to apply in collaboration with organizations that meet the location requirement, right? And so again, I believe the intent is we want to support local organizations, but there are absolutely organizations outside of that close proximity in Berkeley and in Oakland, in Concord, perhaps even Pittsburgh, that do great work in supporting young people around various dynamics around our priority areas. And so under the collaborative applicant category, they are absolutely welcome and encouraged to apply. And so there really is no exclusion. It's just merely that to meet the eligibility requirement, we want organizations to support our Richmond organizations because those organizations are gonna have the best knowledge, the best insider track about supporting Richmond people. And, but yes, we do. LaShonda, do you wanna add something to that?
No, I actually was going to, I had written a note to come back to that point. So thank you, Board Member Lobos, for bringing that up, that even though we had to set the boundary somewhere, we actually had a lot of conversation about what that was going to look like. And there have been organizations that have contacted us that aren't within that boundary that we, you know, really are encouraging to just say, find an organization within Richmond that is eligible and please team up to be able to provide that service. And so it could be, you know, it could be a public entity that's eligible to apply on its own that a nonprofit partners with, or it's another nonprofit community-based organization.
Yes.
David, do you mind going back to the slide which kind of listed what we want them to be thinking about?
Can I quickly ask a question?
That one.
Sure.
It's, we're going to be reviewing you're going to get a lot of grant proposals. Are we going to be reviewing them electronically? Are they going to be sent to us as data files or?
That's a great question as well. So you guys are on it and I appreciate it. So our thinking is that we would like to make available the application in the format that you best find approachable, right? So there might be people on here on the board or on our review committees that would prefer electronic files, right? And so we're gonna make sure that we have that available. And there may be board members or review committee members who would prefer a hard copy. And we're gonna work to make sure that we make that available, which is also the concept around maybe breaking up the review committees based on priority areas. So no one has to get every application, right? So the applications that you have to review are limited to those. Now, obviously we can make available all the applications just merely for reference, because maybe you have a lot of experience in basic needs and say, hey, I know the landscape of basic needs. So maybe I want to stay away from that, but I'd like to review those applications just for my own information, see what people are talking about, what they're saying, et cetera. So we're going to make all the applications available, but for the review committees that are reviewing specific priority areas, we're going to deliver those to them however they prefer it, whatever is best. So if you want a hard copy, we're going to make that available. If you want electronic, we'll make that available. And LaShonda, maybe I don't know if you want to speak to this slide or the slide about what we're looking at, looking for from collaboration or, okay. Are there any other comments, feedback from the board members? Again, we're having another information session on Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We encourage you to share the word and spread it. Following this last info session, we've been recording them. We'll record this one as well. We'll post our presentation with the coordinating slide deck. And we're also taking questions. If those of you that have come, if you come, you'll see that we're answering questions. We're capturing those questions and we're building out a FAQ page, frequently asked questions page, so that questions like that you're bringing up, which are very common and also appropriate around collaboration outside of eligibility, how do I navigate that? We can address those because they are coming in quite commonly.
I just have one more quick question. Have you gotten any applications yet?
That's a great question. We haven't, but I can tell you this, that I've spoken with at least four or five organizations that have reached out and folks are applying and they're drafting their applications. And it's kind of great to hear that they are already on it at this early stage. When you think about, LaShonda can remark about this, the ECIA grant, the other grant application that we get, we would get maybe four or five before that Friday it was due. And on the Friday that it was due, we get like 60. Folks would be coming in, we'd be there to after 5, 6 o'clock. Because of the online access, it makes it a lot more accessible for teams and organizations to kind of break apart the application and then send it back to one person and then submit. So it's actually kind of handy. So we haven't, but we have been getting word from quite a few organizations. They are working on the application.
And also, just a reminder, we did allow for organizations to submit more than one proposal. And so we are preparing ourselves for quite a number of applications, right? You may have an organization that, like, they do one thing, so they would submit one. But then you have larger organizations that really are multifaceted and do a lot of different things. And so we're allowing them to submit up to three. So we will see how that works for us this year. I also just wanted to point out that, you know, we gave people from the 1st of January till February 22nd. But I do want to point out that we have been really engaged or tried to be very engaged with entities that could apply, as we were talking about, you know, for the past year, really year and a half. So organizations really could have been getting themselves ready to figure out what type of service and who they wanted to collaborate with. If they looked at the charter language. So I'm hoping that organizations and entities, both public and community-based, were already thinking about it and just ready for us to drop the the RFP. And so the time that we provided to them is more than sufficient is what I am hoping. But no, we always are open for feedback through this process. This is our first year. So we're always open for feedback about how the process went, how the RFP was. And so if any of you have any feedback for us also, you can take note of that, let us know. We are keeping track of it now as we're going through.
Absolutely. So if there aren't any more comments, questions, just want to put that little pin in there. Be thinking about your level of participation and thinking about priority areas that you might be interested in reviewing and scoring. Because at our next meeting, we want to kind of finalize what those teams and review committees will look like. And we'll also have some new members. And so we'll have maybe virtual cake and punch for them as well.
Right. So do we have any more questions or comments from our board members? Okay. Do we have any public comment on this, David?
We do not have any public comment.
Okay, so if no public comment, then we will be moving now on to agenda. Listen to an overview of a request for proposals RFP for grant management software and share any ideas and recommendations or feedback. So do we have a report on this?
Yes, I will be providing a report. So thank you, Co-Chair Yana. Just to begin, I think it's great to give just a refresher on what is a request for proposals, especially how it applies here. So a request for proposal is also an RFP. As you can see, it announces a project or job that an organization needs completed. It explains the scope or details of the project or job. It also requests entities to submit a response or proposal to serve or complete the project. So for example, with our RFP that's currently out, that is to receive grant applications from organizations. As you can see below, for the purpose of this request for proposals, it would be to establish a grant management software system. And, you know, per the charter, the department is required to administer the Richmond Fund for Children and Youth. And when we think about grant management, that includes a variety of things. So, for example, the application process, so receiving the applications, scoring the applications, monitoring budgets and payments to those organizations, and also eventually evaluating programs as well. To go a little bit to our current grant management practices, so you can see those here, for example, with the grant application submission process, we are currently using our City of Richmond websites, which is hosted by Civic Plus. So the application, so the online portal that organizations will be submitting their proposal through, that is something that we created using our own website. For grant application scoring, as we kind of previously discussed in the last agenda item, that's something that we're also right now will be seeing depending on preference of the reviewer. So whether it's in paper or electronic, for example, that may be a fillable Word doc or a fillable Excel document or a fillable PDF. Also to note that in the past, for example, with the ECAA, these grant application process, or even if you were part of the RFP to select a consultant for us and selecting Hatchell Tabernick and Associates, that was done through paper in which we gave you copies of the RFPs. You provided scoring in person, or at least through writing on those actual RFPs to submit your scores and then submitting that to us. And then lastly, grant management. So all our submitted grant information, and whether it's also, budget information is saved on our City of Richmond file system known as the P drive, and that's where they're saved securely. And those are usually in the formats of Word documents or Excel sheets. So the next piece is also kind of goes to our next question, which is why is a dedicated grant management software system needed? So I've listed here some of the software capabilities, many of which I think we'll be thinking about as we transition to the future of this online-based system, where you can still have access to paper copies. One of the biggest reasons for a grant management software system is an accessible grant application. So one that is easily customizable. So for example, like I mentioned, we use our Civic Plus system right now to build it. But we are limited in terms of how much we can customize. Many of these grant management software systems allow people to collaborate on them. So for example, if we're promoting collaboration and there are two organizations who would like to submit an application together, both can work on the same time, can assign application areas to each other. And I think the goal is really to have a system that is easy to use for everyone. Also easy to use workflows. So for example, if you are a reviewer, that is the ability to have access to, for example, a website or a printable version, if you prefer that. And in doing so, you can score online and all point information is calculated collectively and is calculated in real time so that we can avoid any human error as well. Also grant monitoring and data reporting. So this is key, especially as we think about the short and long-term impacts. Many of these grant management software systems are used to monitor and evaluate existing programs. So for example, receiving participant data and being able to track that over time, especially if we transition to what we've been referring to as this results-based accountability model, where we look at the long-term impacts of this funding across the priority areas. Also supportive communication tools. So this is very key in terms of communicating with applicants, but also just the community as a whole, and also with our oversight board. So for example, if information is requested on grant applications from either a grantee or an oversight board member, many of these systems allow printable versions, charts that can be accessed and done on these systems. And then lastly, budgetary monitoring across priority areas. This is very special and unique, I think, to this Richmond Fund for Children and Youth, considering we have these six priority areas. And for us, especially in, you know, reviewing the applications and scoring them, for us, it'll be key to look as to how that money is being distributed across the priority areas so that we can see that in real time rather than afterwards. So that's a piece on the grant management software capabilities. I'll also add that both the Oakland Fund for Children and Youth and San Francisco Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families, they also use a grant management software system. They use CitySpan, and they've been using that for application submissions, for requesting data information from existing grant-funded programs, as an example. And then lastly, I just want to touch on the proposal components and instructions. So this would be the format in which we solicit or request proposals from organizations that provide this type of service. As you can see, the key part is, you know, giving an overview of our department and the Richmond Fund for Children and Youth, our objective. And I think one of the most key parts is the scope of work. And as right now, we're currently in the process of researching those software capabilities, what would make the most sense for our fund. And again, I think accessibility and transparency are key components of that. So as we do more research, we can build and create an RFP that is very clear as to what is our intention with this and what are we looking to solicit. And then lastly, for next steps, so our next steps are continue to outline and develop the RFP, set a response deadline, and also share information about the RFP at future meetings. So currently with this request for proposals, like I said, we're still in this outlining and researching process. So for this current cycle in which we'll receive applications, this wouldn't be a tool we would use to, for example, score the grant applications. I think this is something that would be, if we get into a contract with a vendor that does this type of service, it would most likely be in the summer. But I think beginning at that phase, it would be understanding and receiving training and knowing how we can use that moving forward, especially to request information from those who we eventually get in contract with. And so that's it as a general presentation. If you have any questions or any feedback, we're happy to hear. And also if there's any community members that would like to speak for public comment, you're welcome to use the raise your hand feature beginning now as well. And thank you.
Thank you, David, for that presentation. So do we have any board members with any questions or comments?
Okay,
I think it's 6:50, and I am thinking board member.
I had to go to my class, and the information was important. I did take notes for the information, so just wanted to let you guys know that I didn't just leave the meeting, but yeah.
Thank you. Have fun in class.
And can we go to board member Hedstrom? I think she had a question.
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering how this software might work. For example, if we're reviewing, would we be able to see what other, if we put comments down, would we be able to see what other reviewers are doing? Or are we going to review sort of each person separately and then only see the, talk to them about the other grant as later on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that would depend largely on our preference and how we want to go about that. I'll say that in doing some research on the vendors that provide this type of service, a lot of it's very, there is a feature for role-based permissions as to, for example, who can see your comments as a reviewer. I think many of those details are things we'd like to solidify beforehand so we're clear on those as well. I'm not sure if you have anything to add, Patrick or LaShonda as well.
No, I would just add that I think David hit the nail on the head there, is that it we would customize it. So, and when David speaks about roles, it would be for the sake of objectivity, we would establish the reviewer role, and the reviewer role would have capacity to review electronically and score electronically and make edits, and their scores might tally automatically. They don't have to worry about those, but they, because of the role, we would limit their permission to look at other people until we had completed the review, and maybe we're doing a more general review, switch the role up, opening up other types of permissions. But under the reviewer role, we would try to limit it with, so like I said, to support objectivity around scoring.
That makes sense. But sometimes it can be a collaborative kind of review too, is what I was thinking. But I like the idea of individual reviews, and then at the end you collaborate.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think I had a comment amongst what Board Member Hexton was saying too, just really figuring out what that means, especially around like the, you know, collaborating. I know that I sit on other boards, and sometimes, you know, when with the subcommittees, it's hard to have, you know, many of us in the same space talking about the same thing. So I think just really, you know, due to the Brown Act, I guess, and having, so just really having clarity amongst, you know, what can be seen and, you know, what can we collaborate on, especially during the reviews, and if that even applies.
Yeah,
that is go ahead, David.
Oh, I'll just briefly say, yeah, the collaboration piece, I think, is something that's come up in my research. And also one of our interns, Nabil Aziz, is helping with research as well. And I think for us, it'll be just being clear as to what we'd like in terms of that, both in the RFP, but also once we share information with you all as to the process itself of scoring.
Thank you, David. And great presentation, David. I just wanted to add, Board Member Kocher and Yana, that with regards to Brown Act and like looking at subcommittees, we will make sure that we are adhering to everything so that the subcommittee can meet and discuss. And because there are a large number of individuals on our board, we will make sure that we adhere to the Brown Act requirements so that subcommittees will be able to meet and have conversations as needed in the current year and in future years also. That is a good point.
Thank you, LaShonda, for that. So do we have any more questions or comments around this item?
If I can, just really quickly, I just want to state that we will do this process very similar to what we did when we were looking for a consultant to do the community needs assessment, where we're coming to you now to just tell you what we're looking at and working on and the purpose of it. And for those who are interested, when we get a little further, can be, you know, we can, if you're interested, you can be part of a subcommittee to review and have that be a part of the process in that way and help score and select the vendor that will be, that will provide our grants management system. And as stated in the charter, part of the board's role is the evaluation piece and making sure that not only are you evaluating kind of the role of the department and making sure we as staff are doing what we need to do, but evaluating the fund and how we're spending the money, which includes looking at the budgets and making sure that really we're trying to move that needle, right, for the different areas, priority areas, and how are we doing with that? So this is part of your really important work. So we want to make sure you're part of that. Thank you for listening and engaging with us. in the beginning of this process.
And I'll briefly add, there is no public comment written or anyone in the attendees list.
Thank you, David. I'm so sorry. My internet connection seems to be coming in and out. So I'm sorry for that, but we will now move on to agenda item F3. This is a discussion item for opportunities for oversight board participation, youth engagement, and development of the 2021 oversight board goals, and sharing any ideas and recommendations or feedback. So a presentation to this.
Hello, I'll be presenting tonight. Can you hear me okay? Okay. All right. So, so at this point, we're going to change the pace a little bit for the meeting. And we're going to pass the mic to you. The Oversight Board has now been seated for a year and 2 months to date. I believe you were seated back in November. So if you haven't said that already, happy belated anniversary to the Oversight Board. I think Patrick has some balloons in the back to celebrate already. So... and I think we stopped off on developing more resources and opportunities for y'all back in last February, if I'm not mistaken. So obviously we have had a lot of big hurdles in the way. We've had the CNA, we've finished that. We had the strategic investment plan, we finished that. We just recently finished the RFP. Obviously that's still kind of rolling, but we have a little bit of a breather and we want to, you know, turn it back to you all and see what we can do to help you all for the upcoming year. So we want to hear from you all. Everything I'm going to bring up in the next few slides, merely ideas, suggestions of what you want to see from us, whatever you want to see from the Oversight Board as a whole. If our youth board members want to see something specific from us as well. We want to make sure that this year is a successful one for everyone and that everyone who spends time with us walks away with something, you know, whether that's, a touched up resume, if it's capacity building, public speaking, maybe some academic credits. So we want to make sure that we, we're here to serve you and we want to make sure that you leave whenever, if you spend a few months with us or if you spend a few years with us, that you can walk away saying like, you know, I learned something from this. So next slide. Yeah, so the main three topics that we did want to touch on tonight were oversight board participation. So, you know, how can our department best support you all in your roles, youth engagement. So what can we do specifically for our youth board members to make sure that it's more accessible for them? And overall, as LaShonda mentioned earlier, our 2021 goals. So what's something that you would like to see from the oversight board and the department this year, especially as we move on to our first grant cycle? Next slide. Yeah, so some ideas, suggestions that we've have here, and I just wanted to thank our amazing intern, Kelly Luke. A lot of this information that I've put on these slides has been research that she has done. She basically did research and compiled a document with a lot of the best practices from all over the country, from similar youth adult boards that they use often and they find to work best for them. So again, these are our suggestions and ideas. If there's something on here that you see that you would like to do, please let us know. Please feel free to discuss amongst yourself as well. If there's something on here that you see that you would like to bring up, again, same thing. So some of the suggestions that we have brought up in the past have been trainings, right? So I believe it was last February, we had a whole menu of trainings that we wanted to bring to you all. Some of that included public speaking, youth adult power dynamics. Maybe that's something that we still need to do. Social media communications. Maybe we want to learn how to do, if there's something that you want to do for posting on the happenings of the department. Government 101, if you're interested in learning more what we do at the department or maybe the city of Richmond, we're happy to provide that sort of training or explanation for you all. Bias training, and I think there were a few more, but in general, as I mentioned, whole range of trainings that we could curate for you all over the next year. And in previous meetings, we've also mentioned team building exercises. Maybe there's something that we need to do with the group as a whole that we're not doing. I know we mentioned a retreat a few times. It might look a little bit differently at this point, but we can still work something out. Or maybe we want a field trip, Richmond. I had this happen a few times with some of our AmeriCorps Vista colleagues. We can do a tour of Richmond and tour all the different neighborhoods or the parks or different nonprofit sites all over Richmond. That's something that ends up being kind of like a historical tour. And Patrick made a few crash course videos last year explaining concepts we had in some of our meetings last year. I know some of you must have looked at that, and it was really, really great. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. And I'll show it on the next slide. But and there's also personal goal setting. You know, maybe there's something that you specifically want to work on this year, and you would prefer that we work on you with you one-on-one. We're happy to do that, you know, whether that's maybe doing some capacity building, keeping you accountable for your own personal goals. Maybe you want to build some skills on, you know, hosting a meeting, whatever the case may be. And also volunteering service projects. We do a lot of that in Richmond, especially with our department, with community services, at least my department. If that's something you would like to see the oversight board do as a whole, we are happy to connect you with that or with any of our service provider partners that we work with. Next slide. Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, Patrick created some really great crash course videos, and if you haven't checked those out, I don't have them listed here, but I'm sure Patrick can send them to you all. So really cool videos if you haven't checked them out yet. Next slide. Yeah. So ideas and suggestions for youth engagement. I'm sure that there are some things that would work best if it's youth specific. Again, trainings. We can do leadership trainings, youth-adult partnerships, conflict resolution trainings. Maybe there's an opportunity there to do more, you know, bonding retreats, networking with our youth, the youth board members. Same thing, you know, retreats, field trips. Maybe you want to do some job shadowing. Maybe you want to know what it's like to work in the city of Richmond or in our department or with a nonprofit. If you would like for us to put that together, we're happy to do that. Or if you want to do your own community event, that. You know, again, it's going to look a little bit differently now with the pandemic, but at some point, if you want to do a virtual community forum, you know, whatever the case is, we're happy to help you out there. Maybe you want this to pivot more to helping you in your future career or academic, let's say, goals. We can do capstone projects, volunteer opportunities, service projects. Do you want your time here to count as an academic credit? We are happy to work on that. We were working on that last year, but if that's something you would like to see, we can definitely continue with that. So that way you can get something from your time here and or elevated roles on the oversight board. If you feel like you want something more on this oversight board, maybe you want to do our social media for us. Maybe you want to help be the liaison for a nonprofit or for the community. Please let us know. Again, we want to make sure that you, if there's something you want to do or try out with us, like we want to make that happen for you. Next slide. And overall, for 2021, I think we're going to be working on this already, but we would like to work on goals and our work plan for this year. Again, this is the first grant cycle we have. We have some big milestones to hit. We would like to know what you think our milestones might be for this year. If there's anything that you think that we need to streamline or we need to add into what we do as a department, please let us know. We are always open to feedback and suggestions to make this process as easy as possible. And meeting topics, I have done this with one other commission in the city. We've had the Reimagining Public Safety Task Force suggest certain agencies or nonprofits to come out and speak. Most recently we had Contra Costa Health Services come talk about their mobile health crisis strategy and how they lay that out. And that was a really, really great presentation that they did. So if that's something, maybe there's a nonprofit that you want to hear from, you know, whether it's that or something related to education, mental health, any of our priority areas, we're happy to bring anyone on and come do a presentation. So like I said, these are all ideas, suggestions. If there's anything that you would like for us to do this year, start thinking about it. You know, this is not the end of the conversation. We have some new board members that will be joining us next month, as we mentioned earlier. So, yeah. Next slide. Yeah, so as mentioned, this is more of an opportunity for you all to discuss and share and see what you would like to hear from us. We do want to, at the end of the day, encourage and foster growth for all of you. And again, we want you to walk away feeling like you gained something from us. So any questions or comments, suggestions?
I just want to say thank you to Lupe and thank you to Callie for putting together the presentation and the staff report and the thinking behind this. As Lupe stated, this is the beginning of the conversation, or at least the second win, because I feel like we talked about it early on and then COVID and everything else happened and then we had all these deadlines. And so we haven't forgotten about it, but we really do want this oversight board to be a model for what a board in the city of Richmond can look like and what it can do and how we support you. And so just, you know, wanna open it up. We are really open to any ideas, any thoughts, any suggestions that you have. If you're more comfortable having conversations offline, we can do that too. But just encourage you to let us know what you're thinking, and we're brainstorming right now. So we're gonna take this opportunity to do that if you all are willing.
I'll just say that I think those were all great ideas in terms of the training opportunities and the collaboration opportunities, and something for board members to learn, for all of us to learn from. And just to kind of like a thinking of, obviously we kind of started talking about it last year, and then just really my brain's kind of going, okay, yeah, I mean, all those are great ideas, and like when to do it and how can we kind of make it happen now that we're starting to talk about this again, but a great beginning list, definitely.
Board Member Kader, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
So I'm interested, where would you start?
I think I would love to start learning how the team collaboration work can like as a all board members working together. Mm-hmm. Kind of a training around those would be a great starting point. That's and cool. I'm not saying that, you know, it's just kind of like a more working but different people training is what I'm trying to say. It's like kind of a big point.
No, that's helpful.
Yeah, thank you for that. One thing that we did not get to do last year that really is on our hearts is, you know, a retreat, a workshop, or whatever you want to call it, where you really get to walk away from or step away from this type of work where we have to be very, like we have to kind of go through the steps and meet deadlines, but be able to step back and say, what is the vision for the Department of Children and Youth and for the fund? And what's the mission and the goals? And, you know, the creative process of that and just getting to know each other one-on-one is really important.
Yeah.
And so we definitely, you know, thank you, Board Member Kader. We think that is a really great idea. And we've been talking about how do we do that? Can we get somebody to facilitate? And because of Brown Act requirements, you can't really step away and not be in the limelight or be in the spotlight, but we still can find a way to do it where maybe it's facilitated conversation. We bring somebody in and can do something that makes sense and works for everyone.
Do we have any more comments or suggestions or discussion? David, do you want to give us, is there any public comment?
Yes, we do have one written public comment. And if there are any community members who would like to speak, you can also use the raise your hand feature as well. So I'll go ahead and read our one public comment received. It is from Cordell Hindler. It goes as follows. Hello, David. I have a couple of suggestions on how the board can participate. Number one, interview. Have the participants pair up with people they don't know. Each interviewer has to find out three interesting facts about their partner, Allow 3 minutes for each person to interview each other. Then bring everyone back together and ask everyone to present 3 facts about their partner to the rest of the group. Number 2, also I can provide on the idea of public speaking to the youth, Ms. Haley Cordell. And that is the end of public comment.
Thank you, David. So do the board members have any comments or suggestions after hearing our public comment? Well, I have a comment. So I just based upon what, you know, I heard Mr. Cordell Hintner say right now, you know, really figuring out a way. I know that, you know, due to the Brown Act, like you said, it seems like we're always going to have to be in the spotlight when we're doing, you know, either gatherings or just having any space where we all want to participate. And I think, you know, really figuring out, even if it's kind of, you know, we have adult board members and we have youth board members, and I'm really interested to see how even pairing us up, you know, with individual, you know, youth members, because I'm one of the adult board members now, just, you know, figuring out how we can, you know, pair up with one of the youth board members and, you know, be able to, you know, I think in pairs, maybe that would work, and, you know, have sessions where, you know, we can, you know, have this at least some type of, you know, relationship building or, you know, team building, I think, to a certain extent, until we can do the bigger group in person and really focusing in on, you know, I like the idea of public speaking. And I've taken, you know, many workshops, like with the practice space and, you know, other that do it like really interactively, and, you know, it's kind of facilitated, and it's all ages, you know, whether it be storytelling or, you know, how, whatever it may be, I think just to, you know, give us that little bit of push sometimes that we need to, you know, be able to, you know, speak, especially in these spaces. And I think, you know, really Zoom has brought that, you know, a little bit harder. It made it more difficult, I think, to some point, because we're, you know, sitting in our own home, you know, surrounded by sometimes other people. And how do we speak out when, you know, there's other people in the spaces, or, you know, we're not comfortable or things like that. So I think, you know, really figuring out how, you know, we can, you know, pair up. Like I said, I want to, you know, hear what the youth have to say. I want to, you know, really get their input. And I, you know, okay, I think I froze. So really having them lead and, you know, be the ones that are directing the work and, you know, giving us the feedback, I think that's really important. So, you know, really figuring out how we can manage to do that. And, you know, like I said, building, you know, relationships in a Zoom world is kind of difficult, but, you know, maybe we could do it at a smaller capacity and then, you know, figure, you know, things out from there. I think, you know, I would really want to see Coach Johnson, you know, and have more of that, you know, I think, communication between, I think, all of us as co-chairs, and, you know, and I think a lot of the other board members would want to, you know, hear Member Alvarado or, you know, or, you know, just any other youth board members speak. I think, you know, just really having them engaged and, you know, us having, you know, letting them direct, I think that's going to be really important. And that should, I think, be our primary goal. You know, us being the support system here, and having them lead the work, you know, should be, or, you know, our goal. That would be my goal at the end of the day. Like, you know, really being here to support them and, you know, being the support sector that they need to, you know, keep the work going. So do we have any more comments onto that?
No, it's maybe just one more question for the board is, would it help to maybe send out like a form or a survey of like having everything mentioned earlier, but maybe on like an easy spot for everyone to click, if that helps? Or would you prefer to just kind of manually send in requests or do it on your own time?
I think go ahead. I think the survey type, like having to be able to choose and kind of click on things will be helpful. It's just kind of like in a list form, and then you can either like do it in the prioritization, how we kind of think is important, or and then like in list of items and that we have to choose from. So I think that will be a great way to kind of collect the data and kind of feedback as well from everyone.
Yeah, and it's a good way to get it from the board members who weren't able to be here today. And I think what we could do then is get feedback from everyone, and possibly when we have our new board members come on, and you know, I'm sure we could probably come back with the topics and kind of go from there. Thank you.
Board Member Hegstrom, do you have a comment?
I agree that a form is a great way to do it. It makes it a little easier, but also maybe a place in the form for comments too. If we have, you know, if there's something that's not listed that we like the idea of, we could put our own ideas into.
Okay. And I would also like to see this as a following item. I think once we have a full board present, I mean, I love everyone, you know, who's here and, you know, who's here giving us their input and, you know, but I would really want this to be a bigger discussion, especially with the new members coming on, you know, figuring out where they see this going and, you know, where, you know, they want to put in their, you know, their voice or, you know, their thoughts. So maybe putting this back onto our agenda as an another discussion item to be brought back up when, you know, we have a full board.
Okay. I will be sure to put that down. Thank you.
So do we have any last comments or questions or suggestions for it?
Okay. I just want to say I'm so proud of you all. I just really am. And it's inspiring hearing you all's opinion and take. It's inspiring when you all show up. Even to our youth board members who don't speak much, I'm inspired every time I see you log in. And I appreciate you all's patience through this process, because I feel like we're all kind of figuring it out. And one of the things that I appreciate about you all is that I feel like we offer each other grace to learn and to get better. And I feel like because of that, we can experience the challenges of growing and developing without the pressure of feeling accused or finger pointed. And we have that grace and space to be like, oops, I slipped, right? We kind of talked about it in February, but we had to hit a whole lot of things out of the ballpark over the next year. And so we're coming back. And so I just want to say thank you all for the grace that you extend to us and that you extend to each other as we figure this thing out. Like LaShonda said, No other board or commission in the city is doing that. We don't have a blueprint, and you all really have this great opportunity and a mandate to like be a part of crafting something that everybody else would be like, okay, how did they do it? Can we talk to them? But the process is kind of what we're doing. So I appreciate you, Coach Aranyana, for saying, hey, let's make this a standing item so it's always before us, because I feel like if we do that, we won't get caught up so much in the process of scoring and reviewing and selecting, and that you all actually have a process, your own kind of mini community needs assessment as a body, as a community, right? Your own little internal strategic investment plan that you need to decide and build out is kind of what this is. And we don't want to get lost in the work that we don't also build you as the group, so that the work really has purpose and value going forward, not just a set of tasks and checklists.
Okay, can I add one more thing before it just came to my mind? So thinking, you know, just how could we get the best value out of these meetings? Maybe, you know, following it up with like some type of like Survey Monkey. And I want to see it done in a way where you're asking, you know, questions like, you know, because I think sometimes we leave these meetings with like, I should have asked or I should have said, but I didn't. And I just thought about it when we, you know, left the Zoom room. So, you know, just really, you know, following up with like, do you have any additional questions or any comments, or what could we have done better? or what would you like to see, you know, moving forward? And I think sometimes putting it in writing, you know, gets the spotlight off of it. So, you know, just, you know, I think, you know, having that follow up just to, like, you know, with someone asking me versus, you know, me having to, oh, this is what I think. You know, and I think it gives us a space, like Board Member Hextron was saying, you know, do you have any additional comments or questions? And I think sometimes we leave, but we don't have that space, you know, to kind of that after moment. And I think sometimes we're talking about so many things that, you know, we're taking it all, you know, trying to take it all in that moment that, you know, till after when it kind of sinks in, then we're like, oh, I should have, could have, then, you know, we have till next month. And I think then it gets lost. So, you know, maybe thinking, you know, out loud and, you know, following up these meetings with like a Survey Monkey, something like really quick, really easy, where you were not, you know, having to do all this logging, all this typing, but just, you know, making it accessible to everyone. You know, that's something that I think I would like to see moving forward.
Yeah,